And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show, and welcome to it. Whether you may be listening on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM, or our friends over the Divvy on 89.03 FM, or you may be listening in on a podcast on Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, or off Raglan Community Radio's flash new website, raglancommunityradio.nz. Lots of good content on there if you guys get your teeth into, if you're looking at that one. Or even Spotify, maybe even these days. So, thanks for tuning in. This is a rurally focused show. So, later on in the show, we're going to be talking to David White, the president of the New Zealand Tree Crops Association, see what they do and what they get up to. Before that, we're going to have some rural headlines, some weather, and a little look at some gardening to do for the week. Before we get into any of that kind of stuff, I'm going to play you a song by Lou Reed called Coney Island Baby. And this is a good one if you're feeling a bit kind of, if you're isolating at home or whatever and you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, this is a good uplifting one for you. So I hope you enjoy this one. Lou Reed, Coney Island Baby, live in, from 1984.
When you're all alone and you're lonely, and it's your midnight hour, and you find out that your soul, it's been up for sale. And then you start to thinking about all the things that you've done, and who it was and what it was, and all those scenes, how much you hated every single one. Hey, remember that the city is on the hill. And the glory of love. Ooh, baby, oh, the glory of love. Well, the glory of love, it just might see you soon. When all your two-bit friends, they're gone and they ripped you right off. They said that you'll never be no human being. And then you start thinking about all those things that you've done. And who it was, and what it was, and all those scenes, how much I hated every single one. Remember that the city is a funny place. A circus or a zoo. And right now, oh, we might all come true. you do.
Lou Reed there with Coney Island Baby. Hope you enjoyed that one live. Now it's time some rural headlines here on the Over the Fence show. And heavy rains in February and March coupled with labour shortages means vineyards along the east coast are doing their best to get their harvest in before bacteria and mould take hold. Pip Goodwin of Martinborough's Palliser Estate said it was all hands on deck before the grapes were too compromised. She said with all the challenges thrown in the mix, weather, COVID, lack of staff, our team worked very hard. This included Goodwin, the chief executive, administration staff, and shareholders out in the vines picking fruit. Pay rates of up to $60 an hour and incentives like cash bonuses, prizes, free transport, accommodation, and food are being offered to lure pickers to the kiwifruit industry. The industry is experiencing its toughest year ever due to the impact of the pandemic and requires 24,000 people to pick and pack over a typical harvest. And this is current. There's currently a shortage of 6,500 backpackers due to border closures. Orchard manager David Kekar said an experienced picker can make over $60 an hour or $500 to $600 a day, and a beginner can make $30 to $40 an hour. So if you're looking for a bit of mahi, folks, plenty to do there in the kiwi fruit industry. And depleted scallop fisheries in Northland, most of the Coromandel and the Hauraki Gulf, are to be closed to allow them time to recover. Fisheries Minister David Parker said results of a biomass survey in 2021 are alarming and strong measures are needed to restore the fisheries. Scientific surveys of scallop numbers in these regions have confirmed iwi and community concerns that scallop beds are in bad shape and the decline was caused by a number of factors, including sedimentation, dredging, and GPS use to locate and exploit scallop beds. The closure of the fisheries follows a fifty percent reduction in Coromandel in 2016, and a reduction in Northland of 74% in 2020, and will come into effect this Friday. And rural doctors are under pressure and juggling unrelenting workloads, said the chair of Rural GP Network, Dr. Fiona Bolden. She said the situation is very tricky for rural GPs because they have had to continue dealing with their normal workloads plus dealing with the COVID-related issues. And she used to be a doctor out here, did she not, Aaron?
Yes,
she did. Yes, she was here. I think she helped set up the Raglan Medical Centre, and now she's in Whangamata and still, yes, the chair of the Rural GP Network, Fiona Bolden. And salmon in the Marlborough Sounds are dying at a faster rate than ever after a long hot summer which saw higher sea temperatures. New Zealand King Salmon reportedly dumped close to 1,300 tonnes of fish waste into landfill over the last 3 months. New Zealand King Salmon Chief Executive Grant Rosewarne said conditions in the Sounds were perfect for 9 months of the year, but during a hot summer, the sea temperature, particularly in the Pelorus Sound, was too warm. King Salmon have applied to establish a farm in the cooler, deeper and faster current conditions of the Cook Strait, he said. Which is, yeah, that's a sad story, but the saddest thing for me is why they're dumping salmon into landfill. You know, could make fertiliser or something out of it, surely, you'd think. But anyways, Mycoplasma bovis is now currently active on only three properties in New Zealand. South Canterbury, where Mycoplasma bovis was first detected in New Zealand in 2017, is now free from the cattle disease, according to the Ministry of Primary Industries. Ministry of Primary Industries Director for Mycoplasma bovis Eradication Program, Simon Andrews, said no new properties have been added to the active confirmed infection list in 2022. The eradication program is a partnership between MPI, Dairy NZ and Beef and Lamb NZ, using both network and background surveillance, properties linked within the infection network and checking for infection outside the network. Andrew adds, we are on track to be the first country ever to eradicate Mycoplasma bovis. However, we cannot be complacent. So at least there's one good news story in there to finish on, folks. And that's kind of the headlines I picked out for this week. Now I'm going to play you a song by a New Zealand band who I got introduced to actually by Mike from the Community House a couple of weeks ago, called Beat Rhythm Fashion Wellington Band. Here's a song, Turn of the Century. I hope you enjoy this one. Rhythm Fashion there on the Over the Fence Show, Wellington Band from 1981, I think it was. Now it's time for the weather here on the Over the Fence Show. And I haven't got super organised for the weather this week, so it's going to be a bit quicker than usual. And Northern Auckland, Waikato and the Bay of Plenty expect sunny weather. Someone's trying to ring me up in the studio, but can't answer that right now. A few clouds may drift through from the afternoon with a low risk of a shower from Northland late afternoon, early evening, with light winds, and it is a beautiful day here in Whangaroa today. Sunny and a little bit of a breeze, but really lovely day. And it looks the same for over in Hamilton as well. And for the week, we have kind of cloudy today. It's not super cloudy today. It's going to be similar tomorrow, a few less clouds, I predict. Slightly cloudier Friday, Saturday. Possibly a shower Sunday, it looks like. Then cloudy again Monday and Tuesday, maybe a shower. And then they're looking at rain possibly Wednesday, Thursday. What have we got there? About 16, 17 mils. So reasonable sort of drop. And then showers again Friday. So, yeah, first decent kind of rain's looking about a week away. In between that, we have daytime temperatures pretty tightly packed between 22 and 24 degrees. And nighttime temperatures of between 15 and 17 degrees. And the winds are blowing around today from the south-southwest. Tomorrow they'll move more southerly, then go more southwesterly, then spinning right around to north-northeast for Saturday. Sunday, west-southwest, then southwest, then north-northwest into next week. So there's your winds. Chances of rain here, pretty slim, folks. Apart from Sunday, maybe trace rain on Sunday. That's what they're expecting at the moment. And the sun rose this morning, ladies and gentlemen, at 7:31 a.m. We'll set at 7:17 p.m. And what else do I bring you here? The length of the visible light is 12 hours and 38 minutes. The actual day length is 11 hours and 46 minutes. So we've dipped under that 12-hour mark, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 25 seconds shorter than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, it's been beautiful. I've been up early in the mornings, and about 4:30 I can see it from where I am rising. It's just a little slither down the bottom of the moon coming up over the red flashing lights of the windmills out in Tuku. It's been beautiful, beautiful mornings. And we'll rise at 4:49 a.m. And we'll set at 6:32 p.m. this evening. 2%, a mere 2% of the moon illuminated tonight. And the 1st of April, we'll see a new phase. At the moment, it's a waning crescent moon. And it'll be a waxing crescent moon from the 1st of April. Humidity today, I forgot to do that one, it's about 64%. So there we are, folks. There's a quick sort of weather wrap-up for you. And I'll get it all straightened out again for a more detailed one for next week. Anyways, for now, here goes a song by Sneaky Feelings called Trouble with K. Hope you enjoy this one.
Though it's hard to believe that it ever could matter, it certainly does to her. K doesn't want to keep up with the changes. She liked things the way that they were. I'm feeling alright, I just want to go on, but that pushes her over the edge. She feels the problem to be when the trouble in me is she's scared. The trouble with K is she's scared. Is she scared? The bus off to work is the part of the day that I finally get on my own. And I wish I could tell you the brilliant ideas that have vanished before I get home. And once I get home, well, I know it's not long till we both got a reason to shout. Charlie, most of our worries are things we shouldn't even be thinking about. The trouble with K is she's scared, is she scared? It's gotta stop now, cause it's wearing me away. And it's not because it hurts so much. No, it's not because it came. Maybe I'd have fixed things if I had a total holder. But my heart's grown heavy and now my arms are too tired to hold her. One of these days she'll wake up with a start and she'll find that there's nothing to love. Maybe that'll stop her from picking up me when you know that it comes from above. You know that there's nothing to love, not to love.
Sneaky feelings there with Trouble with K, and I forgot, of course, didn't I, in the weather to read out. I've only got two rainfall measurements to read out, so the first one is from Ron Rumble and Ruapuki Head, 43 mils, Ron, so thank you for that. And Chris, new contributor from Okiti, thank you, had 16 mils, so Ruapuki takes the gong this week, 43 mils for the most rain. So good on you, Ron, and I bet you enjoyed it out there. And also, Surfing Farmers, which I've been talking about the last few weeks, is actually finished now, folks. It'll start again in November. But till then, or if you've got any other problems, you can always, of course, ring the Rural Support Trust on 0800 787 254. And if you want to get a hold of me, if you do have weather, I'm always on the lookout for other people sending in their rainfall. So if you're keen to do that, get a hold of me on overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. That's overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. If you want to talk about the weather, or if you want to come on the show, or know someone would be good to come on the show, any kind of feedback, good, bad, otherwise, chuck it on there, and it'd be much appreciated. So now I'm going to play, I think I played it last week, but I'm enjoying it again this week. It's a song by Lucy Dacus called VBS. Hope you enjoy this one.
In the summer of 07, I was sure I'd go to heaven, but I was hedging my bets at VBS. A preacher in a t-shirt told me I could be a leader, taught me how to build a fire and to spread. Everybody went into worship and we hands above our heads, reaching for God. Back in the cabin, snorting up Meg in your bunk bed, you were waiting for a revelation of your own. Secrets like peach pits in your gut, locked away like jam jars in the cellar of your heart, waiting to be tasted and ultimately wasted. You were gonna win me over from the start. Was so bad, it took a lot to not laugh. You say that I showed you the light, but all I did in the end was make the dark feel darker than before. Nothing you can do, but the only thing make the dark feel darker than before. The dark feel darker than before.
Welcome back to the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 and Free FM. And now we are joined by our guest, David White. Can you hear me, David?
Yes, I can. Kia ora to you all.
And thanks very much for coming on the show, David. Really appreciate it. And you are, of course, the presidente of the New Zealand Tree Cops Association.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to this interview. So firstly, I guess tell us a little bit about yourself first. David, how what have you been doing previous to joining the Tree Crops, and then how did you get interested in joining the Tree Crops Association?
So I used to work in the biotech industry, in the milking industry in Hamilton as a researcher. And we moved out to the Huntly area in an effort to buy our first home. And actually really liked Huntly. It's got a lot of things going for it, nice shops and supermarkets, physio, all those kind of things you kind of need, good schools. And so eventually we bought a lifestyle block just north of in Ahuniwai. And so this lifestyle block was carved off an old citrus orchard. And so it had, 250 citrus trees on it. And we moved the house on site and looked at the citrus trees and thought, they're cropping. Maybe we should be doing something here. And so that kind of started the journey into tree crops and all the things, interesting things there. So my background's really in research, but we produce now 2 to 3 ton of boutique organic free-range citrus, as I call it, out of our micro-orchard, which has about 200 mature citrus trees left on it after we kind of removed enough to put a house on and all those facilities.
Fantastic. Is it good citrus conditions up around the Huntly, Ahuniwai ways?
Well, interestingly enough, no. It really perplexes me, but apparently in the 80s, because it was next to the... So we're on the old State Highway 1, where people might remember going through Ahuniwai there. Someone planted it so they could sell directly to travellers. And the soil is... Because we're really close to the river, we're on the sandy Taupo soils, and so therefore the free draining, and which the citrus really like. But we really are a bit too cold if you were going to, do a commercial orchard, citrus orchard. You'd be wanting warmer Gisborne, Bay of Plenty type climates or Kerikeri climates where the major commercial production in New Zealand occurs.
Okay. And what does that affect about the fruit? The level of what juiciness or flavour, or does it have any effect at all?
Yeah, it does. So personally, I think it produces better flavoured fruit because I grew up in the Waikato eating fruit off trees at home. And so they taste like, in my mind, what citrus should. So they have more acidity to them. So the cooler the climate, the more acidity you get in citrus fruit is the rule of thumb, which is why when you buy at the supermarket citrus from Australia or the US, to me it tastes really bland because it doesn't have any acid to balance out the sweetness. And so I would argue that our citrus we produce has got this fantastic balance of being slightly acid when you eat it, but also delightfully sweet, so you get the right balance in the fruit.
Yeah, right. And I think from memory, when I was last down in Kawhia, that was where the very first lemon trees planted in New Zealand, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think I have a lemon tree that's been a cutting from that tree, because that type of lemon's propagated and sold around the place. So I've got lots of other interesting trees. We planted about 300 other fruit trees on our place as well. So we've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a whole range of stuff. So I like the rare and unusual kind of fruit. So I've got one of those lemons as well.
All right. What other sort of unusual fruit do you grow, David?
I've got a mountain coconut. So mountain coconuts are from the mountains in the Andes in South America.
Right.
And so they can handle very light frosts when they're young, and once they get above the frost line, then they can take off. So there's some producing nuts in New Zealand in Kauri Island, I do believe. But unfortunately, they take a few decades to fruit, so I don't know if I will last long enough to see it fruit.
Right.
But they produce golf ball coconuts, so they taste like a coconut. They're real coconut. Just think of a miniature golf ball-sized coconut.
Huh. That's interesting. I haven't even heard of them.
Yeah. That's probably my most precious kind of tree.
All right. And what else you got growing on your place, David?
So we've got a range of, we've got the standard, you know, the apples, pears, nectarines, peaches, those kind of fruits, and a whole range of citrus. And we're at the moment, we're pushing into the subtropical. So when we bought the place, Huntley doesn't get as many frosts as Hamilton did, and so I got quite into subtropicals. And so I planted them all out, took cuttings, and did all the rest. And the first year we were there, we got all these heavy frosts that killed them pretty much all, except for the sugar cane and this mountain oak leaf papaya, which is a deciduous papaya. Mm-hmm. And so I went, But since I've been there, we've planted lots of trees. We've done lots of nitrogen fixes as well. And look, so we get a lot less frosts because the trees act as, I guess, heat units, because the sap doesn't freeze, generally speaking, unless it gets far too cold. And so that creates a frost-free climate. And so now we've got a frost-free climate. We put in chirimoyas, casamaradas, which are subtropicals, ice cream bean plants, and lucemas, which are butterscotch plants, so those kind of things.
Interesting. And butterscotch plants, how does actually butterscotch come about, David?
I've not tasted the fruit from it yet, so it's only my eye height. But it produces these green, on the outside green-looking fruit, but on the inside it looks like butterscotch and apparently has flavours that are reminiscent of butterscotch. But I suspect it might be one of these marketing things that the actual taste tastes good, but I don't know if it will taste like butterscotch.
Yeah, interesting. All right, and so how did you get involved with the New Zealand Tree Crops Association, David?
Look, everyone who kind of, because we were very green, never been on a lifestyle block before, always been a bit green-fingered, I guess is the terminology used. And everyone we talked to said, you need to join Tree Crops Association. So eventually I did, and went along to a field day. So they have branches throughout most of the country, and they are centred mostly on field trips where you go to somebody's place or a interesting agricultural business. And so when I turned up there, it was full of people who were thinking similar thoughts to me, who had similar interests, and I thought, oh my God, where has this been all my life? So from there, you know, you kind of get sucked into the vortex of helping out at a local branch level and now obviously helping out at a national level. So that's kind of how things started.
How long ago was that, David?
So that was, must be close to 8 years ago that that I joined up as a member.
Okay. Just looking at your website here, very nice website too, I must say.
Yeah, we have a fantastic volunteer who looks after that, and the Barb Winkley, Sharon. She's really good.
It's been going since 1974, which is quite a long time now.
It is, 40 years. So we, Waikato had its 40th anniversary a few years ago. So it is quite remarkable, and it's been through a number of phases. So in the 80s, it heavily focused on nuts, and it thought about renaming itself as the New Zealand Nut Something Association. So it's been through a number of different focuses as times have moved on since the 70s was a very different place to New Zealand now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having a look through here, and the initial goal was to, from farmers, scientists and gardeners, was saying that farmers should plant more trees in their paddocks, not just for aesthetic reasons, but to supplement their income, but a more stable environment. So it's quite kind of tied in with, I guess, is it organic kind of outlook, would you say, mostly?
We're quite unique in the fact that we are, I guess, very diverse. So we have some very robust discussions because we have lots of people who are, like myself, who think that, I guess, the, what would be called sustainability / permaculture / organic way of growing things is the appropriate way. And then we have people who grow things very conventionally and use sprays and pesticides and do their thing that way. So it's quite refreshing to, you know, have people who sit down and I guess, have quite passionate discussions around which point of view is more appropriate for the situation and then sit down and have a cup of tea and ask how their kid's going. So it's quite nice in that way that we're quite inclusive and encourage that kind of discussion. But yes, I would say more people are on the permaculture / organic side rather than the conventional.
Okay. And how many members do you have nationwide, David?
So nationwide, we've got a membership of 1,500 people. So the major branches, population of the branches is Auckland, Waikato Bay of Plenty, because that's obviously where a lot of New Zealanders live. But we also have branches throughout the country. So.
Okay. I see here, yeah, it's not just fruit trees either. It's shelter, windbreaks, woodlots, orchards, fodder crops, mixed association of all kinds of trees and useful plants. Yeah, it's not just your fruit trees. It's all sorts, isn't it?
It is. So things from firewood. We've got people who do green woodworking, which is in the days of old, when you're working wood, you generally use it green, which is when it's fresh and full of water, because that makes it easier to cut, easier to process, easier to carve. Whereas these days we go kind of to the lumber merchant, and it doesn't really matter because we use power tools. So there's some crew down Wairarapa way that do some green woodworking, which I think is really fantastic.
Okay. And what's what are the best green woodworking trees?
It depends on what you want. So traditionally, for example, if you're putting in a house, you'd want strong beams. So the beams would be made from oak. Whereas if you were looking for, say, make some pegs, closed pegs, to hang up your clothes with, then you'd be using something like hazel wood, because hazel has the right diameter, approximate right diameter, so you don't have a lot of work to do to get it into the right shape, so it's already kind of already in the right shape.
Interesting. And I wonder how many different, I don't expect you to know this, but I wonder how many different breeds of trees or types of trees actually grow in New Zealand.
I don't know, but it's got to be a huge number, because we have an immense climatic range. So up north is a subtropical climate, so you could, you know, we've got people growing bananas commercially up there, and so, and then through to places like central Otago, which is actually Mediterranean climate, and then so we've got temperate climate in there, cool temperate, warm temperate. So the range of New Zealand, because New Zealand is actually quite long, as well as being thin, we've got a huge kind of diversity of trees and range of trees in terms of their ecological niche or where they like to grow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. There's certainly, that's one of the great things about New Zealand, isn't it? We can grow so many things because of that diversity of landscape, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And so, yeah, everyone get tree information. Yeah, fruit, nuts, shelter, bees. Yeah, bees is a big one, isn't it, for people to focus on these days. I'm constantly reading out the headlines that the bees are running out of fodder at different times of year and stuff like that.
Yeah, that one's interesting. Obviously, I've planted trees at my own place for bees, and I really enjoy the buzz. As you walk close to a tree that's enjoyed by the bees, there's real buzz coming off it. And I'm very grateful for the pollination services they provide. But interestingly enough, the bee numbers in New Zealand are increasing and have increased dramatically over about the last 15 years as honey's become more commercial. Yes, so honeybees in New Zealand are doing spectacularly well, to the point where I can't keep bees at my place because there's not enough bee food around, because there's someone down the road with 100 to 200 hives that kind of removes all the bee nutrients from the place.
Jeez, that's a lot of hives. Yeah,
it is a lot of hives. So there's a real boom, and of course the Manuka honey boom as well, where that's, you know, nutraceutical or whatever the term is for that high value product that has medicinal properties. So in New Zealand, we're doing very well. I like the really fascinating thing to me about bees as well is if you watch the trees that are attracting the bees, they also attract butterflies, they attract moths, they attract flies, they attract all sorts of really interesting and diverse insects that kind of make up the ecosystem and help things work. So to me, that's quite fascinating as well, how many pollinators are actually not honeybees.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? And was that a organic like farmer conference type of thing over towards Pairua a few weeks ago, and there was a lot of talk about fodder trees for cattle especially, and they had a few ideas like willows and poplars and things like that.
Yep.
Any more of those that you'd throw in there?
Tree Lucerne would be the other one. So there's a fantastic organisation. So in the 80s, a lot of the tree crops research, like as you said, was on farms, and of course sheep farming was big in the 70s and 80s, and so they were looking for planting tree lucerne and willow and poplar as well to feed the things. And so there's now a willow and poplar trust, I think it might be, which is a fantastic organisation that does work with the farmers around planting poplar and willow for stabilisation and feed. The other thing that I really like is the tree lucerne. To me, it's kind of the miracle tree. So it produces flowers for insects and bees in winter when there's not much about. It is a nitrogen fixing, so you can then chop that tree back and process the chippings where you're adding nitrogen into your system that has come in from the atmosphere. They're a great firewood tree. They can be coppiced, which is meant to cut at eye height to waist height, and they will regrow, or you can... coppice is cutting at angle level, which they can do as well, pollarding is when you cut them at waist height or eye height, and then they will regrow from there. What else do they do? They're just a remarkable all-round tree. And so there's research in Australia. They've got mixed cropping going where they let the sheep into the paddock and cut the tree or prune the tree with the sheep, especially in the dry season. So the tree lucerne likes dry, so it's a dry climate tree that really enjoys the stress of the dry.
All right. It's interesting. And what, how many different type of nut trees do we grow over here in Aotearoa?
Commercially, not too many. So commercially, there's walnuts grown in the Christchurch, Canterbury kind of area. Hazelnuts can be grown commercially in the Waikato, Rotorua areas, which on paper can produce yields better than dairy farming. And I don't know what that payout figure is used. I don't know if it's better than this year. Which, of course, has less nitrogen leaching than the dairy farming. So allows options for farmers because of the nitrogen limitations for those water catchment areas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few small macadamia orchards in Coromandel, and I suspect also in Northland. And there's a macadamia processor also on the Hauraki Plains. Just going through my head. Pecans, we don't know what grows well in New Zealand. So there was a bunch of research done by Tree Crops 20-something years ago around pecans, but unfortunately the person has lost some of the documentation and that person's no longer around. But there was pecan genetics brought in, and some pecan trees do produce well. So it's about a matter of figuring those ones out and then trying to distribute those. And of course, pecans take a very long time to come into production, which is part of the challenge. So you're looking at, but depends, but you know, we're talking decades, not years. That's a long-term process. What else? Nuts. Pine nuts. So there are some commercial pine nuts plantations that have gone in the Nelson area and the dryland areas on the east coasts. Again, pine being, you know, being able to handle the dry.
Yeah.
And so they're a really high value item because of the complexity of extracting out the pine nut from the hard shell that it's in. It's a very small, finicky, difficult process.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people apparently have some magic stuff that does work really well. And so that's kind of their added value. So I'll be really interested to see how that goes.
Yeah.
What else? Oak nuts aren't really produced much in New Zealand. So you can, depending on the oak, you can process them and use them as flour or eat them. There's a bunch of stuff there. So that's not really done in New Zealand that much. And chestnuts were once an industry. We used to export chestnuts to Japan, but unfortunately that fell over due to as emerging markets can. So there's quite a lot of chestnuts in there, especially in the Waikato area, but they're not commercially sold very often these days. So I think that's all the nuts off the top of my head.
Well, that's way more nut species than I thought there was.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
But they take a long time. There's a saying that you plant fruit trees for your kids and nut trees for your grandkids.
Okay.
Not entirely true, but it does illustrate the length of time it can take for nut trees to start producing.
All right. Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that the Tree Crop Association also chips into a bit of scientific sort of research and that kind of thing. Do you do much of that?
We'd love our branches to do more. So at the moment, I guess branches have two focuses. So some of it is what grows well locally. So the Waikato branch here locally is trying to find apricots that produce well in the Waikato. And so we're just about to start some process of ordering some plants and distributing them to people, and then we'll trial those and track those, and hopefully we'll come up with a list that do well in the Waikato, since people are interested in, you know, growing apricots here. So that's cool. done throughout kind of the different branches where people are focusing on what works in the area. And the other more, I guess, robust scientific process. At the moment, the major focus for this is, we've got a number of irons in the fire, but is a new crop called honeyberry, which is a, I'm trying to think of the best description. It comes in, it's similar to a blueberry,
right.
But it comes in before strawberry, so it's a very, very front of the season berry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work's being done there by our fantastic scientist, Eric Carnes, down in Wellington, and also in our Nelson branch is doing some propagation work and a bunch of focus on home varieties.
Honeyberry, where's that hail from?
So it comes out of Canada. So I'm trying to remember the original name, but Canada, Japan, and Russia have these cold, hardy berries. And the original idea was that New Zealand doesn't have many horticultural options for, say, the King Country, where it's cold and wet and not ideal for, you know, doing kiwi fruit or anything like that. And so this might provide options for those people. What we're finding is it actually grows really well in the warmer areas as well, because being from, you know, Canada, you know, has a very continental climate, very cold climate, and so we thought, you know, obviously you'd want to match that, but it turns out that it looks like it might just do as well in the warmer areas, or even better in the warmer areas.
Well, that's cool. So that's part of what you guys are about as well, just like sussing out what might grow here, what might not, and
yep.
I guess you're sharing out with your members.
Yep.
Yeah, really interesting. And so if people want to join up to the New Zealand Tree Crop Association, David, how do they go about it?
Hitting up the website's the best thing to do. So on the website there's Join Us or similar option. You can go and fill in your details, and it's only $50 per annum, which is remarkably good, and you get a quarterly a journal full of articles that are relevant and interesting and engaging, as well as whatever the local branch is doing and all those activities as well.
I see there's a Tree Cropper magazine. How often does that come out, David?
So the Tree Cropper comes out 4 times a year.
Okay. And that's just, I guess, interviews with members and such things, and whatever research you're up to and that type of thing.
Yes, indeed. And so we write articles as well. So I wrote an article for the last one about kiwi fruit, because we have a lot of people who'd like to just grow a kiwi fruit plant at home, and you can't buy, as an ordinary person, you can't buy kiwi fruit plants anymore because of the PSA challenges. And so I talked to the people over at Kiwi Fruit Vine Health and got the update on what you can and can't do as a home gardener. And the great news is you can grow... now I'm trying to remember what I wrote about. I think the guts of it is you can produce your own kiwi fruit on your own site, but you can't move them around or take them off site. So people can grow their own kiwi fruit in their backyard if they want to. So that's good.
That is good, yeah. Because quite a few years ago, I tried to plant a kiwi fruit, and couldn't do it because couldn't get a hold of it because of PSA. That's interesting. Yeah, and I guess when you are a member. I see you've got an events page here, and I can only guess that there wouldn't have been many events going on, like there hasn't been many events going on for anything. But how often are the events usually, say, in the Waikato?
In the Waikato, we plan 10 events a year, so one a month, not including December or January. And so at the moment, next weekend, I do believe it is, don't quote me on that because I'm dyslexic, so I screw up my dates really well. we are visiting a local person who's got a fantastic range of apples and a really neat, you know, home orchard, so to speak, with a great diversity. So we're doing that on a Saturday. So there's sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday. We try and balance them out, and we try and move them around. Most of our members are based, I guess, in the central Hamilton wider area, you know, through, you know, Huntley and up to Raglan and those kind of places.
Mm.
But we also try and get through to the more unusual areas. So we're going down to Tamarinui, I think, in, I can't remember which month, but we planned out our year and try and move things around so people can visit depending on where they're at.
So that's cool. So, and you don't need to be, I guess, like an actual tree crop farmer. You can just be like a lifestyle blocker or just like a home gardener or whatever. Sign in and get into it.
Yes. So we've got a lot of people who are into self-sufficiency and are lifestyle block owners. And we have people also who've retired off lifestyle block owners who like the company and the fellowship who are still members, even though they might be in town with quite a small section now. So it's a good range of people with a range of experiences.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So there we are, folks. So you just look into the New Zealand Tree Crop Association, you hit that in and that'll come up for you. And it'll be quite an engaging thing to be involved with. And I guess you'd like swap crops and various plants and trees and that around at these meetings.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a big resource to grow your own stuff, wouldn't it?
Indeed. Yeah. And we also run grafting events. So we teach people how to graft, which is in the start of spring.
Okay. And you do like pruning ones and all that as well, I guess?
Yep, we do. We do a pruning workshop in, I think, August this year, but I'm not, again, 100% sure on that.
All right. What other workshops you've kind of run, David?
So they're the main ones. So pruning is a practical thing where you can read a book, but it's easier to go out and and have a look at stuff, and then you can learn from the person standing next to you. And same with the grafting. The grafting is a great skill to learn, and so we have quite a very large range of apples you can graft and apple rootstocks they can buy, and so there's a whole process there. So they're the two main workshops, and so they're done. For example, I know the Badmini branch does the grafting workshop as well, and so does the Franklin branch. And we also run a tree sale. So on the first Saturday in July is the tree sale at Hamilton Gardens. And so we have outside people come in and sell trees, and we also buy in unusual rare trees from wholesalers that we have access to and sell those to the public as well.
Cool. And I guess you find all these details out on the website, David, no doubt.
Absolutely, or our Facebook page. So we've got a Tree Crops Facebook page, and we also have a Waikato Tree Crops Facebook page for, you know, branch events and things like that. And you don't need to be paid up members to be members of those Facebook groups.
Cool. And anything else you'd like to add, David?
If you're a fantastic person, we'd like to have you along. We're a group of people who are very open-minded, love to discuss things, and enjoyable to be around. So, you know, if that's you, we'd love to have you along.
Excellent. Hey, well, thanks very much for joining us, David. Yeah, it's a really interesting organisation, and you do a lot of stuff, and good on you. And anybody interested, the Facebook or the website, and get to go around the countryside and see some cool trees and taste some delicious fruit and nuts and other things, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, awesome, David. Really, really appreciate you coming on the show, and thanks very much for coming, doing that, and we'll keep in touch, eh?
Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks very much, David. Oh, yeah, if there are any events or whatever coming up, let me know, and I can broadcast them.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff.
All right. Hey, thanks again, David, and take care.
Will do. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye. So that was David White from the New Zealand Tree Crop Association, ladies and gentlemen. Really interesting stuff, isn't it, what they do. So, yeah, if you're growing fruit, nut, whatever, or you're just interested, good place to check out. And that's kind of almost the show for today, ladies and gentlemen. So thanks for listening. It was a little unprepared, but we'll straighten that out by next week, hopefully. Have a great week. And me haere aho. I gotta go. Thank you for that one, Fire Lucy. And we're going to go out with Cash Savage and the Last Drinks, song called Pack Animals. I haven't played this for a while. I love it. So have a great week, folks. Enjoy this one, and back next week. You know what the